The Money Show.
Shapeshifters.
Well, ever since the Nasbat Foundry made its first investment in Sweep South, I've been wanting to catch up with the head of the foundry, that is Fabian Waite, to try and find out what it's all about, how it works, where the money comes from, and what criteria they're looking for, so that if you've got a brilliant idea, you've got a great business that needs some support, how do you get an appointment with Fabian? Fabian Waite, welcome to The Money Show this evening. What's your background? Where do you come from? What are your qualifications? What do you do?
Hi, Bruce. Good evening, and thanks so much for having me on the show. Honored to be here. So my professional background is I previously worked in private equity. I was a generalist investor. I invested in mid-market businesses across the African continent. I had done that for the last 6 years prior to joining Naspers Foundry. I put a few $100 million to work. I had looked at hundreds of potential deals across many different countries. I had traveled to a different country every month, and so that's what I was up to prior to the foundry.
How did the foundry job come about?
Yeah, so I think one of the key things they'd seen in me, I guess, is that I had experience in putting together a successful investment program. I had, put together investment strategy, I'd hired a team, I'd put in place investment processes, portfolio management processes. And I think combined with the fact that, I had a passion for tech. So not only had I had exposure to tech professionally within my, within my professional role, but I'd also for a number of years been investing in the sector as an angel, both here on the continent, as well as further afield. So I think that's from a Naspers perspective, what they'd seen in me. From my perspective, this was really an opportunity to leverage my existing skills and expertise and networks in order to further develop the South African tech and VC ecosystem, which I think has the potential to have a transformative impact on the broader South African economy.
And the foundry itself, just explain what it is and how it works and how it fits into this enormous, what is now global conglomerate of digital and media assets and platforms across the world.
Yeah, let me do that. So I think most listeners will be familiar with the Naspers Group. For the uninitiated, the Naspers Group is one of the world's largest tech investors and operators. The foundry is part of a 4.6 billion rand commitment that the group made to South Africa during 2018. 3.2 billion of that went to the existing South African internet assets. That's Takealot, Mr. D, Prop 24, Auto Trader, and so on. And the remaining 1.4 billion is to capitalize the foundry. Now, the foundry is a South Africa-focused early stage tech investment vehicle. And I'm happy to sort of jump into our investment criteria, what it is we invest in and what it is we have invested in to date.
Absolutely, because we know the big ones. I'm assuming you've got this bottomless trough of cash, because Naspers is so incredibly wealthy that they've just said to you, Fabian, here is a blank check or a blank digital payment device. Go out and buy stuff. Not that much latitude, I'm sure.
No, so not exactly. So if we look at the foundry's investment strategy, first and foremost, we invest in high potential businesses, right? So we back phenomenal founders who manage businesses that are highly scalable. Right. Secondly, we in terms of life stage, we look at businesses that in Silicon Valley speak are at Series A or later. And I'll translate. What that means for us is that the business is it's a for-profit business. It is post-revenue, which means you've got a product, you've got customers, and customers are already paying for that product. You have some early signs of product market fit, which means you're addressing a sufficiently large market. You have good traction within that market. And then finally, that you have sustainable unit economics, which means that it costs you less to produce the product than what you sell it for. So those would be some of the key criteria under life stage. If I then look at sector, so if you know the broader group, we are aligned with the group sort of strategic priorities. And these include fintech, so tech businesses in the financial sector, edtech, education, food tech, so within the food value chain, and then lastly, marketplaces. So businesses similar to Property24 or Auto Trader that I mentioned earlier. Outside of that, we target businesses that address big societal needs. And a good example is we invested in an ag tech business called Airobotics in May of last year. That was 100 million rand. And then health tech's another sector that we're actively looking at.
I mean, it's a lovely spread of interest, and there are just so many, well, not that many, frankly, but there are a number of delightful South African startups. Airobotics is one of them, and if you go onto the Airobotics yes. website, it's just the beautiful graphics and beautiful videos that show you drones going over Stellenbosch orchards and huge fields of grain, mapping the fields, looking for problems so that the farmer doesn't have to trudge through the fields himself and or herself and look for the problems and tying it up and connecting with insurance companies and other service providers that farmers need. It's really a fabulous business. That 100 million rand investment that you made in May last year, is that the biggest one so far?
Yeah, so yes, it is. We've made four investments to date. So I think you mentioned the 30 million rand we invested into Sweep South, and that is the home cleaning services marketplace. Our second and largest investment was into Airobotics, and that was in May last year. And then in September, we invested in a business called Food Supply Network. And this is a B2B, so business-to-business a marketplace business that connects food manufacturers, distributors, and restaurants and integrates their food ordering systems. And then finally, in November, actually during the South Africa Investment Conference, we announced a 45 million rand investment into the Student Hub, which is an edtech education business.
Yeah, I mean some lovely investments. So what? I mean, you do the sums better than I can. That's what 250 million rand so far.
About 200.
About 200 million rand so far. I mean, how big is the kitty? Is it a bottomless pit? Have you got Koos Becker's credit card? And every time you see something you like, you just go and buy.
Yeah. So the investment vehicle is 1.4 billion rand, which is actually the largest South Africa focused tech investment vehicle. So it's not bottomless, but it is a large sum within the context of our market.
And what is expected of you? I mean, you're doing this for profit. This isn't charity. Your mandate is what exactly?
Yeah. So our broader mission is to boost the SA tech and VC ecosystem. And thereby have a transformative impact on the broader economy, and one of the key ways that we will look to achieve that is by backing the next South Africa tech big success stories, right? And what this track record of success does is one, it attracts more would-be founders into taking the leap. It will attract more investors to support early stage tech in South Africa. And it'll attract more tech talent, right? So, and I think that's how we, you know, that's how we strengthen this ecosystem.
That 1.4 billion rand, you know, in the state capture context is not a lot of money. In a startup, in startup world, though, it's a huge whack of cash. And we did see in the last 2 years, the SA SME Fund, and what they finally did was they went and handed out 10 billion rand and 2 billion rand and big chunks of cash out to established venture capital firms to say, Tim, look, you know everybody who needs capital. We'll leave it up to you to go and disperse this in the best way that you think possible. Off you go and do it. And they got about 10, maybe a dozen of these firms to go off and do it. And the overarching sense I got from these guys was that there was more money than opportunity to invest it. And I want to pick up with that concept in just a moment. Fabian Waite, our shapeshifter, the head of the Naspers Foundry, doing fabulous work, taking nice, big, chunky stakes in South African technology startups and providing them with the capital that they need in order to grow in an environment where it's incredibly, incredibly tough. So more with Fabian in a moment.
The Money Show.
Shapeshifters.
The vast majority of people who go to venture capital firms or go to find funding find themselves rejected simply because that the businesses that they're looking to fund aren't worth investing in. I wonder if that has been your experience, Fabian Waite, the head of Naspers Foundry, tonight's shapeshifter. Are you finding that there's not that much of sufficiently good quality around for you actually to commit Naspers' money to?
Definitely not. I think we're actually seeing a significant amount of opportunity in the market. I think more, you know, more than we can hope to invest in. And I think just to sort of cut back to where we were prior to the break, our investment vehicle is on track to invest the capital over the 5 or so years that we've set ourselves to do so. And I'll sort of give you a little bit of insight into how this works from a portfolio management perspective. Right. So you take a few years, you do a number of deals, and you save a proportion of the capital for follow-on investment into the deals you did earlier on. So from that perspective, you'd expect to see, you know, a significant proportion of the capital to be invested towards the back end of the life of the investment vehicle.
Okay, so it's a long-term relationship. What is that relationship? I mean, do you take board seats on these businesses? How do you keep an eye, a beady eye, on your investment to make sure that the companies in which you're investing aren't sort of taking, I don't know, holidays to Dubai? Or, that's what fraudsters tend to do.
Yeah, so it's definitely a long-term relationship. I've heard one or more investors say that it outlasts most marriages. I'm not sure if that's true from a factual perspective. We're a very active investor, right? So we're an equity investor. We take significant minority stakes in the businesses we invest in. We generally have a one or more board seats for each of the businesses. And I'll give some examples of the value we add to the businesses. So I think the very first thing to remember is that we invest in businesses that are aligned with the group's core strategic priorities, right? So there's a significant amount of knowledge and expertise within the group in those areas, in fintech or edtech, or food tech, right, that we can leverage to add value to those portfolio companies. I think secondly, I mean, the Naspers Foundry, as I said, 1.4 billion rand, which at the time was around $100 million. But remember that we're part of a $100 billion global tech investment platform, right? So again, the resources at our disposal are vast. And I'll give you some examples, right? So So some of the things we do with our portfolio companies is we, you know, we help them put in place proper governance, for example. And there we've got a lot of skills within the group. We help them optimize their finance function. We might help them with legal or regulatory issues. We might help you raise funding by bringing in other investors alongside us, right? Because again, there's a strong validation once the group's put, once the foundry and backed by the group has put money into your business. You might be looking to hire specialized skills. We could help you with that. You might be looking to expand your business abroad. And again, you know, Naspers is active in over 80 countries. So we probably have a presence where it is you're looking to go, right? So we would help you with that. So there's so much value that we add beyond just the check we invest.
How does one get your attention? How does one get an audience with a man with a 1.2 billion rand cash pile? How does one get into Fabian's diary?
So a few different routes. I would say that most of the deals that we've executed and the deals within our advanced pipeline, most of those came through the network, right? Either through founders that we've worked with or spoken to, or through other investors in the market that we've worked with. And I think that's probably, you know, if you're looking to speak with us, that's the easiest route, right? Because that's, I mean, that means that there's been some filtering. The other way is, you know, you can obviously, you know, contact me on LinkedIn or you know, send me an email or send an email to our sort of general foundry@naspers.com box. But obviously these, the cold calling route is tougher. Yeah,
it is. It is tough. It's tough to get access, but you're looking for bright ideas. That's the point. I mean, there's no shortage of people with ideas, but there is often a shortage of access to capital and access to markets. And it's good to know that there are people like yourselves out there, Fabian, who are very keen to dole out cash to worthy causes, and not worthy causes, to worthy businesses, businesses with good growth prospects in the tech space, ed tech, whether it be fintech or whether it be in the food tech space and health tech, all of these things. That's what Fabian is looking for. If you've got a big, bright idea, get hold of him.
Please do.